the Earthpony Orb. As the memory filtered in, I immediately took stock of my host. I was a male Earthpony, strongly built and very physically imposing. My host was also wearing a pinstriped suit and a fedora. A sharp, almost predatory grin was on his face as he trotted along the metal catwalk. I realized with a sudden familiarity that we were in the MMMM headquarters. The bakery below looked almost just as I remembered it. My host descended the metal stairs, stopping to nod at a few of the donut bakers as he passed them by. He continued forward, pushing open the door that led out of the massive bakery. The sky was thick with clouds, the thin gray light beginning to filter away. A cream-colored unicorn colt stood at attention just outside the door as my host regarded him. Peering closer at the colt, my host grinned again.
"Oi, Danish, what the fuck are you doing out here at this time of night?"
my host said. From behind the mask of my host's mind, I blinked. Danish looked so young. I didn't know that the stallion had grown up with his boss.
"No wonder the two are so close,"
I thought.
I thought maybe you might show me some more of those cool moves,"
the colt replied, falling over his words as he spoke.
"Please, Grenadine."
"Sure thing, kid, but not tonight. I got business to attend to,"
my host replied.
"Why don't you go run off and see if your buddy Blueberry's busy, eyed?"
The colt looked a little downtrodden at this. My host chuckled.
"Look, I promise, we'll hang out tomorrow. Just got stuff to do tonight."
"All right,"
Danish said, hanging his head low. He trotted past my host towards the door.
"Hey, kid,"
the host called to him. The unicorn colt looked back at the earth pony.
"Be cool, all right? Smile a little. Every pony's got something to smile about."
Okay,
the colt replied, stuttering. He cracked a little grin as he pulled the door to the bakery open.
"Be careful, boss."
"Sure thing,"
my host said, turning back to the ruined streets of the city. He trotted along at a brisk pace, coming across a bustling settlement set off of the Chicka Cult Theater. The outside of the theater itself was all lit up, the neon bathing the streets in soft light. My host nodded at the two guards as he entered. The marketplace was bustling as ponies flitted to and fro. At the far end of the theater lobby was a bar that I had met Lucky in. I recognized it immediately as my host made his way through the throng of ponies towards it. My host's eyes narrowed as he let his gaze fall on two ponies sitting at a table in the back of the bar. A white unicorn stallion that I recognized as Cutter and a black Pegasus mare that could only be Lilith were chatting idly amongst themselves. They appeared to be giggling and smiling at each other.
"Aye, you two, get a room, would ya?"
my host said as he stepped up to the table. It was at this moment that I got a really good look at Lilith. The mare was actually rather lovely. Gone from her wings were the metal that I had gotten used to seeing all the time. Her mane was well-groomed, rather than the tattered and curly mane she wore as last. She rolled her eyes.
"Oh, come on, Grenadine, we're just having a good time,"
she said. Cutter sneered at my host.
"Yeah, sit down and join in. We're celebrating,"
the white stallion crowd. My host grinned and pulled out the chair across from the two ponies. He flagged down the waitress who brought the table another round of drinks.
"So, what's the occasion?"
my host said, taking a long draw of his drink. Cutter chuckled.
"It's our 1 year," Lilith said. "Cutter and I, we've been together for a year today. It seems like only yesterday."
"Ah, congratulations, you two," my host said. "I would have figured Diamond and Devora would have been here too, given the happy occasion."
Lilith rolled her eyes again.
"They went off again on another one of Diamond's scavenger hunts," she said. "I swear, those two. Diamond's got her head buried in the past, and Devora's got her head buried in Diamond's plot."
"Diamond still doesn't get it, does she?"
my host said.
"Nah, she's too busy with that statue business she keeps going on about,"
Kala said. He took a drink from his glass.
"She's still on about that,"
my host said. Both Kala and Lilith nodded.
all she talks about,
the unicorn said.
She keeps thinking that it's going to help her save the city or something.
My host nodded silently, taking another drink. His ears perked up as the din of the crowd got a little louder. He turned, seeing a group of ponies at the bar arguing with the bartender. Their clothing marked them as raiders, their eyes were wild with anger.
Come on, give us your fucking booze, you stupid fuck!
The leader, a blue unicorn with a green-tinged mohawk of a mane, said. The bartender snarled back.
And I said no, you fucking jackass! You're drunk and disorderly and cut off! I'm trying to run a business here!
My host nodded at Cutter. The two friends stood. Lily's eyes went wide with fear.
Oh, no, sweetheart, please don't,
she said. Cutter grinned.
I'll be fine, don't worry,
he said, floating out a small pistol in his magic. He nodded at my host once more as the two made their way to the bar. My host stepped up and tapped the lead raider on the shoulder blade. He turned, growling.
What the fuck do you want?
He said. My host shrugged.
I don't know. How about you leave poor Horace here alone?
My host's voice said casually. The raider's eyes widened and he snarled again at my host.
Fuck off before I put you under the ground,
he said.
You do not want to fuck with us, prick.
My host sighed.
Horace, might be the time for you to duck if you get my meaning,
my host said. The bartender tossed a quick salute and dove underneath the bar. The lead raider whipped a small shotgun out of a flare of blue magic, aiming it at my host. As the weapon came to bear, my host dropped under its murderous eye and lashed out with his forehoofs. The quick strike took the raider in the throat, leaving the shotgun to fall unattended as he crumpled to the ground. Seeing their boss on the floor gasping and clutching his neck, the other three raiders yelled in rage and drew their own weapons.
Hey!
A voice said casually from behind the four. Cutter had moved behind the group, his compact pistol bobbing along in his magic. A wicked grin split his face.
You guys better run.
The unicorn dropped his aim and pumped two quick rounds into the ground. The surprisingly loud bark of the pistol startled the already unnerved raiders, who then jumped back in disarray. My host was there to meet them, weaving in and out of the raiders in a silent and brutal dance. One by one, the raiders fell to the ground, next to their leader in a big pony pile. My host and Cutter stood over the four ponies, grinning.
If we ever see your faces around here again, we'll do more than just put you on your asses,
my host said.
This here's MMMMM territory, and you just got whooped by one of its chief enforcers.
The lead raider snarled but glared at his companions. He nodded, getting up from where he had been laying. The four raiders trotted out of the bar, giving dirty looks to any pony who stared at them. The bartender, Horace, popped his head out from underneath the counter.
Thank you, guys. Those fuckers were getting rowdy. Couldn't understand what cut-off meant,
he said. Cutter snorted.
Well, they won't bother you anymore,
the unicorn said as Lilith joined us. She smiled brightly at her lover. My host grinned as he tipped his head towards the bartender as the three friends trotted out of the bar. The memory began to fade to black as they exited the theater.
Shit, shit, shit!
I shouted as I dodged another blast of laser fire. The security drone that had fired on me exploded in a shower of sparks, thanks to a carefully placed shot from Danish carbine rifle. I spun about, floating Stargazer out. I fired, tearing another two robots to pieces. Lust flew overhead, diving in occasionally to take out a drone or two before pulling back up to draw their fire. Steeljack and Patch worked back to back as they always did, firing in tandem at the approaching enemies. Nixies lurked around the walls, bouncing from drone to drone, slicing with his vicious claws. Violet moved next to me, laying down a thick stream of fire from Thunderflash. The stable atrium had become a war zone, thanks to Cranky. His little talk with us had been nothing more than a ruse to get us to stand still long enough for the stable's automated defenses to come online. The Donkey Ghoul had disappeared once the first of the security drones filtered into the atrium. I growled as another robot appeared before me, raising its metal hoof and spraying hot red death. I threw up a quick shield, deflecting the beam back at the robot before turning and laying down a stream of gunfire at a large group at the rear of the atrium.
Nixies!
I shouted. The hellhound glanced up at me, a drone head in his claws.
Yes?
He called back. I grimaced.
We need an exit. See if you can find us a way out of here,
I exclaimed. Nixies nodded, tossing the robotic head into another robot, knocking it to the ground. The hellhound bounded across the atrium, slashing his way to the far end where the doors were. My horn still felt like it was on fire, but having no other choice but to grin and bear it, I lifted Stargazer again and took out another two robots who had come up behind me. Violet stepped up next to me, a grim look on her face, as Thunderflash incinerated a third drone that had approached while I was busy taking care of the other two.
Thanks,
I said, a true smile showing through my pain. Violet smiled back as she took aim at one of the drones heading towards Nixies. She pulled the trigger, the silvery fire soaring through the air as it sliced through the drone's body. The hellhound appeared to be busy with the door, trying to slice his way through the solid metal. I turned back to Violet.
All right, let's clean house while Nixies is busy getting us a way out of this damn atrium.
My mare friend nodded as we entered the fray once more, tearing the security drones apart as we rejoined the others. At the very least, the robots in the area were beginning to thin out. I couldn't fathom how many of the damn things existed in a stable as large as this one was. Steeldick and Patch were like one pony, covering each other with well-timed fire from their respective weapons. I smiled. The two lovers were the ultimate tag team, their fighting style smashing as well as... Never mind. I felt a blush on my face as I saw Danish swing out from behind the two, providing covering fire with his carbine. The stallion grinned broadly when he saw Violet and me.
Darling, just having ourselves a little robot demolition derby, he called out.
I couldn't help but giggle. Even with the searing pain still building at the base of my horn, this seemed a little too easy to me. The robots were annoying, yes, but they were far from life-threatening. Was Cranky trying to passively help us by just slowing us down? What was his angle in all of this? I couldn't tell. There had to be a reason he kept showing up and just talking to us. I briefly considered that maybe Cranky was trying to assist us without Pride knowing. Les dove down from above, giving me a firm smile as she sliced open another drone. The mare had resisted using her missile launcher even in this open room for fear that the explosions caused by her choice of ammunition might hurt one of us. Against these surprisingly weak foes, her wing blades let her carve a swath of ruin through the bots. As we cleared out the last of the drones, I slumped to my haunches, panting. I was tired, and this constant running and fighting and overuse of magic was beginning to get to me. I needed to sit for a moment. I looked down at the far end of the atrium where Nixies was working on the door still. The hellhound had managed to carve and pry open the doors just wide enough for us to fit through. I made my painful way to my hoofs and smiled at Nixies as I joined the others.
Good job, I said.
The hellhound merely bowed as he followed the rest of the group into the next hall.
Thank you, he replied. But, if I may ask, are you feeling all right? You do not look so good.
I'm all right, I said, waving a hoof. Just a little exhausted from all this running and fighting.
The hellhound nodded.
I know what you mean. It seems like things have been going non-stop since we arrived in this place. He said. We must press forward, though.
Right, I know. You know, Nixies, I've been doing some thinking, I started to say. About what Cranky said, about Pride. About how she was trying to do some good in this place.
The hellhound snorted.
Pay no heed to the donkey's lies, Star. This Pride, who we have sought, she who twisted the hearts of so many. Do you really believe that she was once a good soul?
He said. I looked at him and sighed.
I wish I knew what to think. It's just like with Spark. She did all these really bad things, but she was once good. I don't know what to do.
I said quietly. The hall we were walking down now was just as drab and gray as the rest of the forsaken place. a cursory review of where we had been and where we were heading, and it was determined that we were at least moving in the right direction. A sign had been spotted, pointing us to where the medical wing was located. Without an automap function, our location remained sketchy and uncertain. As we stalked the hallways, my mind began to wander. I thought about Pride and Spark. Pride had said she had the spirit of magic under wraps, but I couldn't believe it. I was sure that Spark was here somewhere, just waiting to strike. I sighed. Why couldn't I just choose? Why was I so sure that Spark wasn't redeemable, that she was so evil that she had to be destroyed? While my mind played thoughts of my inevitable confrontation with the element of magic, I noticed that we had passed into a much cleaner portion of the stable's hallways. By cleaner, I mean that the walls at least were a shinier gray. At the far end of the long hall was a large sign that stated, "Medical."
"Any of this look familiar, Star?"
Violet said. I blinked. My mind had still been reeling with the thoughts of Spark, and I didn't exactly catch what my mare friend had said.
"Come again?"
I asked. Violet rolled her eyes.
"I asked if any of this looked familiar," she said.
I looked around the hall as we pushed through the door.
A little. I mean, this whole place looks the same. It's kind of hard to tell,"
I said. Behind the door was a large open lobby which appeared to be some sort of waiting room. The infirmary lay just behind a large window at the other end of the room. That wasn't all that was in the room, however. Two large security drones stood guard in front of the infirmary's doors. The instant we were in visual range, the drones began to fire their lasers.
"Shit!"
I shouted as we ducked behind some nearby overturned furniture. The laser fire soared over our heads and struck the metal walls, leaving behind scorch marks. I floated out Stargazer, firing a stream of bullets at the drones. My gunfire struck something seemingly intangible, dissipating around the robot's shells.
"Oh fuck, they've got shield generators!"
Pat called out from the next group of furniture over from us.
"We've got to figure out a way to disable them somehow, otherwise we're just sitting ducks." "How about I just blow through them?"
Lust said, grinning. She stood, hopping up into the air as her wings gave her some lift. The bitch rotated and slid out of its mounting, its rising whine sounding almost eager to fire.
"Wait, Lust, don't!"
Patch started to shout, but Lust wasn't listening. The bitch let loose, sending its payload screaming across the lobby. If there wasn't a strong chance of fiery explosive death or this simply not working, it would have been a glorious thing to witness. The missile spiraled elegantly, demure little fins popping out to guide it in its flight. It nestled into the gap between the shields of the two drones, almost lovingly, then exploded. The explosion in that confined space was thunder come to earth, reflecting the fury of its mistress. Smoke boiled through the lobby.
"See? Easy peasy lemon breezy,"
Lust crowed. She looked down at us, grinning widely as a beam of laser fire that originated in the smoke struck her in the shoulder. She grimaced as she was pushed to the ground, her power armor protecting her from the most of the damage. The smoke began to clear, revealing that the two super drones hadn't even been scratched by Lust's attack. They began to move forward, raising their blasters and firing.
"Patch, how do we get past their shields?"
I called from behind my cover. A laser blast struck the sofa we were hiding behind, melting a portion of it into red goop. I stood hastily, scrambling to move over near my friends. Stargazer floated behind me, spraying bullets at the robots as I ran. Patch either hadn't heard me or she had and had come up with a plan. She was hunched over her tools, poking through them frantically. She had a panicked look on her face, her ears pinned back.
"I can't find it!"
she yelled.
"I swore I had another EMP grenade! Oh, where is it?"
She shook her saddlebags violently, rifling through them and pouring out their contents amidst the chaos of laser fire soaring over our heads. A shiny blue apple bounced away from her as it fell out of the side of one of her bags. Her eyes widened as she reached forward, grabbing it in her hoof. She tossed it over, allowing me to catch the grenade in my magic.
"There, give those fucks a swift hoof in the ass with this thing!"
I nodded, lifting the grenade and pulling the pin. I levitated the small silvery item across our makeshift barricade, flicking it straight at the two super drones. The grenade struck the shield with a thunk, hitting the ground between the two robots. A bluish light pulsed from it as its electrical field shot forth. The shield crackled with energy as it tried to prevent the grenade from damaging it. The drones shook for a few moments. The laser fire had stopped and the shield continued to light up in a blaze of electrical glory. I narrowed my gaze as the two robots finally exploded, showering the entire lobby with sparking parts of hot metal. I stood, grinning as I latched Stargazer onto its harness. I looked over at Lust, who was still sitting on the floor. I walked over, handing out my hoof.
"Hey,"
I said.
"You all right?"
She nodded, taking my hoof and pulling herself up.
"Yeah, I'm fine. Just a little bruised,"
she said. There was a scorch mark on her armor where she had been struck, but otherwise she appeared to be all right.
"Thanks." "Not a problem,"
I said, looking back at the sparking remains of the two drones. Beyond them was a set of large doors that led into the infirmary.
"Now, let's see what was so important that they had to guard this room."
The Pegasus Orb. My eyes opened, but I could not see. It was dark wherever my host was. She tried to move, but felt restrained somehow. I recognized this body from other memory orbs, and I didn't like it. Seeing this would mean more things I had to keep from my friend. More lies. Lilith tried to move again, feeling the restraints around her body tighten. Her wings tried to open, but they too were bound to her. Wherever she was not going anywhere.
"Hello?"
she called out to the dark room. No pony answered.
"Can anyone hear me? I need some pony, please. Help!"
Her cries began to escalate in volume, fear shaking her wings and hoofs as she realized that she was alone.
"Please, some pony, help!"
Lilith struggled, managing to somehow reorient herself so that she could see the rest of the room. The room was dirty and dingy, appearing to be some sort of bedroom. My host was stuffed in the corner. She was tied down with a strong rope, binding both her legs and wings. The bed in the center of the room was broken down, its legs on one side completely gone. The mattress was soiled and wet. In the other corner near the door was an old rocking chair.
"Please, somebody help me!"
my host called out again. She tried again to move her legs, but that proved to be worthless. Craning her neck, the Pegasus snapped at her bonds with her teeth, hoping to break them. Unfortunately, she was unable to even reach them. The mare sighed as she hung her head. She was trapped, and there was no pony who was going to save her. Thoughts charged through my host's mind like a freight train. She was never going to see her friends again. She was never going to see Cutter again. Cutter. He had to have known she was here, right? I mean, there was no way he would just abandon her here. I realized, however, that he did know. That was why he was off, trying to decide whether to slaughter an entire village for the mare that he loved. Lilith's voice grew hoarse as she continued to cry out for help. After what felt like an eternity, her cries stopped entirely. She couldn't think of anything else to say. A shuffling noise sounded from the other side of the door. The door suddenly opened, letting in a stream of light across a dark room. My host's eyes widened as a pony stepped inside. It was one of the raiders from the bar. In fact, it was a lead raider. A wicked grin covered his face.
"Well, you're a bit of a screamer, aren't you?"
he said. My host's eyes narrowed at him.
Who are you?"
she said quietly. The raider snorted and stepped up to the Pegasus mare. He lazily flicked a hoof out, striking my host in the face. A sense of warmth dribbled down the side of the mare's cheek.
"Shut up,"
he said.
"You don't get to talk."
My host went quiet, her face stinging with pain.
"Better. need to save that energy in case that back friend of yours doesn't pull through on his end of the deal.
The raider turned away for a second, grinning.
What did you do to Cutter?
My host said. The raider growled, spinning about and kicking the mare on the side, forcing her silence again.
You don't listen too well, do you? That fucking son of a bitch, he thought he could just humiliate us. Well, now look at him. He's gonna do a little work for us, the raider said. And if he does a good job, we'll let you go. But if he doesn't...
A soft chuckle emanated from the raider's mouth. He ran his hoof over my host's cheek. The mare snarled, trying to move away. The raider grabbed her, forcing her face to the floor.
Don't even think about it. You're going to lie here like a good little filly. Now then, I'm gonna go get things ready for your fuck buddy,
he said, turning and leaving the room. The door slammed, bathing the room in darkness once more. My host shifted herself so that she wasn't lying on the side where the raider had kicked her. Pain shot through every part of her body. A shine in the room drew her attention. A mirror was lying on its side against the side of the wall. My host shuffled herself over to the mirror, seeing her reflection within. She was dirty, and a little blood oozed from a cut where the raider had struck her. She sighed.
I'm sorry, please. Why, I just want to see him again, please.
The mare pleaded with the mirror. Tears formed in her eyes as she laid her head on the floor. Sleep overtook the mare, giving her a brief reprieve from the events that she had just experienced. A hard kick in the side woke the mare from her slumber, forcing a gasp from her throat.
Get up!
A harsh voice said from above her. Lilith coughed, trying to breathe. Her eyes drifted upwards, seeing the raider from before standing there. His eyes spoke death.
It's been a day and your friend hasn't returned yet. Looks like he's reneged on his part of the bargain after all.
What?
Lilith said quietly.
Cutter!
There, there,
the raider said, grinning widely as he patted the mare on the head.
I'll make you feel all better, and then I'll gut you like a fucking fish.
His horn flared, enveloping the mare in the soft glow of his magic. My host struggled against his hold, but was unable to do anything as he lifted her. He set her on the dirty bed, stepping forward to run his hoof along the trembling mare's side.
Oh, you're scared. You were such a screamer when you woke up. Let's see if we can make you scream some more.
Get off, please, stop!
My host shouted as a raider stallion pressed himself against her, nearly crushing her with his weight.
Oh yes, keep screaming, little one. No pony's coming to save you,
he said as he reached down with his muzzle, extending his tongue to run it along the mare's cheek. My host whimpered beneath him. I almost wished that I could have ended the memory right there and then. I did not want to see this. Sing defy my friend. But the memory continued, ignoring my pleas to stop. Lilith screamed as the stallion pressed her down into the soiled mattress. She almost didn't hear the gunshot echo from beyond the doorway. The raider, however, did hear it. The pressure being applied to my host was instantly removed, the stallion climbing away from the bed and back onto his legs.
What the fuck was that?
The raider said, moving towards the door. Before he could get there, the wooden door slammed open hard enough to rip it off its hinges. Standing in the hall was a white unicorn stallion with a black mane. An evil look of glee was written all over his face. The raider's eyes widened.
You fuck! What the fuck are you doing here, huh? We had a deal!
The other unicorn snarled.
Deal's off, jackass!
The other unicorn said. His eyes gleamed in the darkness. The raider stallion floated out a pistol, pointing it at the white unicorn. My host struggled as she watched the white unicorn step into the light, revealing it to be Cutter. The raider fired, the bullet striking him directly in the face. Cutter fell backwards, hitting the ground with a thud.
Cutter!
My host shouted, tears forming in her eyes. The raider chuckled.
That's right, you stupid fuck. Thought you got the drop on us, did ya?
He shouted, looking over at my host. An evil grin appeared on his face as he turned.
Now, where were we? We were at the part where you die,
a voice from behind the raider said. The stallion spun around, only to receive a rock-solid hoof to the face, sending him sprawling to the floor. My host looked up, seeing Cutter standing there. No bullet hole graced his face. There wasn't even bleeding. Cutter snarled, launching himself at the other stallion.
Fuck!
The raider shouted as he tried to bring up his pistol again. Cutter swatted the firearm out of the air, knocking it to the ground as he pinned down the raider. His hoof came down, striking the other stallion in the head. It came down again, and again, until the raider was silent. Blood stained Cutter's hoofs as it poured from the body of the dead raider. My host whimpered as her lover sat there, panting hard.
Cutter?
She finally said. The unicorn turned, regarding my host. A sharp grin appeared on his face.
Hey, sweetheart,
he said. My blood ran cold as I stared into the face of greed.
It's gonna be all right. I'm here now.
Where are they?
I said to myself, opening cabinet after cabinet. The medical bay was just as I had remembered in Greed's memory orb, but after several minutes of searching, we had found nothing. No statues, nothing of importance whatsoever. I was beginning to get very frustrated. Granted, there were no more drones around, which I found sort of strange. It was almost as if Pride didn't care that we were here. And despite what Cranky said, I felt he wasn't exactly putting his all into trying to kill us. What was his angle? He was pushing us somewhere. Was it here, in this medical bay? What was he trying to show us? My mind swam with all these thoughts as I rifled through another set of cabinets. Behind me, the others were going through the rest of the cabinets in the infirmary.
Any pony find anything of use?
Violet said as she opened another empty cabinet.
Nothing here, Steeljack called from the opposite side of the room.
Same here, Lust said. Whole place has been picked clean, no medical supplies at all, not even bandages. Great, Violet said. Star, there's nothing here. What are we looking for?
I sighed.
This is the same place that Pride brought Greed when she converted him. The statues were here,
I said angrily, slamming my hoof against a nearby cabinet. Violet trotted up to me, placing her hoof on my shoulder.
Were, sweetie, were. That memory had to have been long enough ago that Pride would have moved them by now, she said softly.
I hung my head, nodding.
I know, but then why are we here? Where the hell is Pride? I don't get it. I thought you would have been on our tails already, I said. This all seems too easy, Violet.
I agree, Lust said. Pratt's never been one to hesitate. Something isn't adding up here.
Violet sighed, propping herself up against one of the walls. A soft hissing noise was heard from behind her as she nearly fell over. The wall behind her had slid silently and swiftly slid sideways, revealing a hidden entrance.
What the...
she said as she righted herself. My eyes widened.
There's another room, I said quietly. Of course, there would have to be.
I stepped up to the entrance, nuzzling Violet as I stepped past her. The room beyond was small and simple. At the far end of the wall was covered with medical equipment and computers, all of them blinking and beeping with each other. It was all very impressive, but it was nothing compared to the sole occupant of the room.
Holy shit, Star, is that...
Violet said from my side. I could barely respond, my mouth hanging open. In the center of the room was a large tube-like structure. It was clear, and its mechanisms appeared to be hooked up to the computer equipment on the wall. Suspended in the center of the tube was the body of an equine. It wasn't a pony. It was a donkey.
Matilda,
I uttered.
It's Matilda.
A question here for those who aren't in the know, but who the hell's Matilda? Danish chimed in.
My love.
A gravely voice said from the corner of the room. My eyes darted over to the shadows, seeing the red smoldering orbs that belonged to Cranky. Somehow this room was large enough to contain the donkey and his cart.
I've been alive a long time, kid. She was my one and only.
Cranky, I said. Matilda is right here. We can help you.
Cranky sighed.
I've told you, kid, you're not going to be able to help me. Pride has her sealed up good in there. You can certainly try, but it's not going to do any good.
He said. I glared at him as I stepped into the room towards the tube. The others filtered into the small room behind me, keeping their eyes trained on the ghoul. Lust looked away from Cranky. I could imagine what was going on inside her head about all of this.
No funny business, I said, keeping my eyes on the ghoul.
Sure thing, kid. Knock yourself out,
Cranky replied. I stopped next to the tube and peered in at Matilda. The female donkey looked old, almost as if she had been perfectly preserved since the day the bombs had fallen. I looked down at the equipment attached to the device, focusing on the terminal with my magic. As soon as arcane energies touched the device, a screaming pain shot through my forehead, forcing me back into the ground in front of the tube. I put my hoof up to my horn. It was on fire.
What's a...
I hissed through the pain.
Told you, kid. Pride's got a psychic lock set up on her stasis machine. Only she's allowed into it.
Cranky said, a twinge of sadness in his voice. I rubbed my forehead where my horn was. It still felt like it was burning up.
Why didn't you say anything?
Violet said as she rushed up to me. Cranky's rotting face turned into a semblance of a grin, some of his flesh dripping to the cold metal floor with a sickening plop.
Would that have stopped her? Doubtful. She doesn't know when to take a hint.
He said.
It's her own fault. She wanted to try so badly.
He's right. I can't break through this kind of lock. Not without pride.
I said, looking at the others and then back to Cranky.
So what now? You try to kill us? You've had all sorts of perfect opportunities here, Cranky, but you haven't taken them. Why? What are you playing at?
A dry chuckle escaped from the ghoul's mouth.
Kid, it's been so long since I helped my Matilda.
Cranky paused, heaving a deep sigh. When he resumed speaking, his voice was intense, harder than I had ever heard him.
If there's even a remote chance that I can get her back, I'll take it in a heartbeat. I miss her so much.
Cranky trailed off. I kept looking between the ghoul and the stasis tube.
Anyway, kid, if you can survive the stable, I'll help you deal with Pride. You should head over to the armory. There's something there that you will need to see for yourself. It's... they are important when you face Pride.
You sound as if you think we're going to beat your little games,
I said angrily. Cranky grinned again.
That depends on you, kid. That depends on you.
He said as the wall behind him opened up.
Another entrance?
I thought as the donkey sank back into the wall, disappearing from sight. The wall reappeared, leaving us alone with the stasis tube. I looked back down at the female donkey inside.
I'm so sorry, Matilda, I said softly. I wish that things had turned out differently for him.
A hoof grasped my shoulder. I looked down to see Violet, tears forming in her soft green eyes.
We'll find a way to get her out of there, Star. I just know we will, she said.
I nodded, turning to the others.
I know that we're here to find Pride, but all of this running will only wear us out in the long run. We need to rest, if only briefly. This infirmary appears to be a solid defense in case any drones do decide to come and attack us, I said.
We'll be ready for them if they do come, Steeljack said in agreement. Danish and Nixie nodded as well. Lust, however, appeared to be unnerved. While the others began to set up a defensible camp, I moved over to the mayor, smiling.
Are you all right?
I asked. She shook her head as her eyes met mine.
I keep getting flashes, she said. There's the stallion. I don't recognize his face or his voice, but he's telling me how much he loves me.
She looked away from me again.
I don't know who I was, Star. I don't know why, but I wish I did. I know, it's hard, not knowing who you really are, I said.
It was true for me, of course. I had spent so long with Spark and Twilight's memories inside my skull that at some point I had begun to lose who I was. My own memories from before all of this were sketchy at best now. I found that Twilight's memories would inevitably float to the forefront of my mind, no matter what I did.
But you have to keep moving forward, Lust. You have to believe in yourself. I know, but I just wish I could remember. I'm tired of not having my memories,
she said.
Lust, you will remember, but you need to do it gradually, like I keep telling you. If you remember too much at once, it could be very bad, and pride might use that to force you to do something you might not want to do, I said. Just, please trust me.
The mare nodded.
Thanks, I'll try my best,
the mare said, turning to go join the others. I felt sick to my stomach. I wanted to tell her to speak the words.
I killed your lover,
I thought to myself. I couldn't do it. I truly didn't know how she would react. Would Pride use her anger over Greed's death to force Lust into attacking us? I knew that the Alicorn wouldn't let something so sweet pass through her hoofs that easily. She would readily exploit it, especially if she could get Lust to attempt to kill Cranky at the same time. A precarious game was being played here, it seemed. One that could end up in pain for all involved. I just wondered, who would get the most of it? Lust? Me? I turned to Violet and sat next to her, opting to stay in the room with Matilda. It was creepy to say the least, but I felt that the old donkey mare needed some company. After all, it would give me some opportunity to try and study the psychic locks that Pride had placed on her stasis chamber. As Violet rested next to me, I peered out at my other friends. No pony was actually sleeping. We were all still on alert, and with good reason. We needed to rest our muscles and our minds, but still keep enough of ourselves to move and fight if we had to. Our circumstances dictated it. I turned my gaze to the stasis tube and Matilda. I wondered what it would be like for her if she were ever to be released. Would she remember Cranky? Would she even care what he looked like now? How would she react to knowing that every pony she ever cared about, every pony she ever knew other than Cranky, was dead? As I studied the stasis tube, I noticed something etched onto the side. It looked like a cutie mark? A very familiar one at that. Three stylized balloons were engraved into the metal. I reached out, tracing the cutie mark with my magic. It had almost become instinctual at this point. The engraving lit up in hues of pink, blue, and yellow as a shimmer appeared in front of the stasis tube. The hologram coalesced into a bright pink earth pony mare. Despite the gray in her hair, her smile was wide and her eyes were bright. Beside me, Violet gasped.
Star, are you seeing this?
She said. I looked to her and back to the hologram.
You can see it,
I said, cocking my head in confusion. My love nodded mutely. The hologram, unlike the others that I had seen, seemed to take notice of us and began to speak.
Hey there, my name's Pinkie Pie and you're Radiant Star and Violet Harris,
the holographic mare said. I blinked. It wasn't just noticing us, it was talking to us.
What?
I said. The pink mare bounced up and down in place.
Oh, don't worry. Only you two can see me. I figured it would be easier this way,
she said.
Just how are you talking to us? This is just a hologram, I pointed out.
The hologram grinned and nodded.
I know, cool, ain't it? I recorded this message so long ago that I forgot why I recorded it. I think it was supposed to be a message for Twilight, but somehow your name came up and, well, here we are,
Pinky said. She looked down at the stasis tube next to her.
Oh, it's Matilda. Hi, Matilda. Oh, Matilda looks like she's sleeping. Wait, if Matilda's here, where's Cranky at? Don't tell me he's abandoned poor Matilda.
No, he hasn't. In fact, you just missed him, I said, trying to process what was even happening to us. I didn't spend much time trying to figure it out, however. Pinkie Pie was Pinkie Pie after all. This could almost be considered par for the course of the Pink Mare. Pinkie smiled widely again.
Okay, I'll have to catch up with him later then. Anyways, I know why you're here, Star. You and your friends have an important task ahead of you.
She said. I narrowed my eyes. You're talking about Spark? Violet said. The Pink Mare nodded excitedly.
Yep, you're a smart one, Violet.
She said.
I know it's hard, but you have to do your best to help the element of magic. She really is good inside, and I can guarantee that everything will turn out all right. After all, things always turn out all right when you're with your friends.
Do you really think that Spark can be redeemed? I asked. Pinkie grinned.
I do. She's not bad. She just made some bad decisions. She just needs a push in the right direction.
She said.
Now, I suppose I should actually leave the message I was supposed to be recording. Where is it?
The mayor yanked a piece of paper out of the thin air.
Oh, there it is. Now, Radiant Star and Violet Iris, be good and let your friendship strengthen you.
The mayor's lifelike image reverted to a simple hologram as she began to talk once more.
Twilight, it's me. It's your best friend, Pinkie. I know things have been bad between us, but I want you to know that I don't blame you. I know you only ever had my best interests at heart. If you're seeing this, it means that I'm long gone and I failed. I failed you. I failed Equestria. I failed my friends. But I'm not giving up. No, sir. I'm going to make sure that this all ends in sunshine and rainbows. That's how good endings are supposed to go after all. Signing off for good, your bestest of bestest friends, Pinkie Pie.
The hologram disappeared into thin air, leaving us alone with Matilda once more. I sighed, hanging my head. Despite her enthusiasm about it, Pinkie Pie's words had left me feeling more confused than ever. Did I want to save Spark? Did I truly want to redeem her? Was there anything worth redeeming, or was I wrong? I looked over at Violet and smiled. Feeling better? She asked.
Physically, yes. Mentally, I'm still a little scrambled. But I'll be fine. We should get going to the armory, I said. We have no more time to spare.
The Unicorn Orb. My host was running, panting hard as his hoofs touched down on hard concrete. I recognized my host's body as I had already seen a memory through his eyes once before. Thankfully, it was Cutter's body and not the insane power mad Greed. Gunfire echoed behind the stallion as he pounded down the street. A pistol floated along in the air next to the unicorn as he turned on a dime and started down the next corner. My host glanced back, seeing several Urshpony stallions behind him. Their haphazard weaponry, slick leather jackets, and insane glee-filled faces marked them as members of the Hellraisers.
Fuck!
My host shouted, spinning his pistol about with his magic. He fired several rounds, but they went wide and completely missed the charging raiders. He snarled, ducking as they returned fire. The bullets soared over the unicorn's head, barely missing him as he tucked in and rolled behind a nearby trash dumpster.
Shit, shit, shit!
My host exclaimed as bullets pinged off the side of the dumpster. He looked down at his pistol. It was nearly out of ammunition. He growled as the first Hellraiser rounded the dumpster, lifting its hunting rifle. My host lifted the pistol, firing point blank before the stallion could get a shot off. The Hellraiser's eye exploded in a shower of gore. A click from behind my host caught the unicorn by surprise. He spun about to see a hunting rifle leveled directly at his face. The raider behind it grinned, speaking in a language even my host couldn't quite understand due to the stallion's foaming mouth and frantic speech.
Fuck you,
my host said. The pipe rifle made another click, ready to fire. Then, just as suddenly, the rifle was drawn away as the raider turned tail. My host cocked his head in confusion as a black mass slammed into the stallion's back, sending him sailing to the ground. It was a Pegasus mare sprawled out on top of the unconscious Hellraiser. She grunted as she stood.
Get down,
a rough voice from behind the unicorn shouted. The mare grabbed onto my host, pushing him down to the ground. Gunfire erupted above the two ponies as they huddled together. The mare grinned sheepishly at my host.
Are you all right?
She said, her voice only barely audible above the gunfire. My host nodded.
Just peachy, thanks,
he said. Out of the corner of my host's eye, I could see another Hellraiser approaching, his assault rifle pointed at the prone mare. My host snarled, levitating his pistol and firing, striking the other stallion in the leg before he could pull the trigger. The gunfire ceased, and the ground beneath the two shook as another form loomed over the two. My host spun, bringing his pistol about.
"Was there, partner?"
a voice said as the hoof came down, stopping the pistol in mid-air. A light tan earth pony with a sharp pinstripe suit and fedora was standing above my host.
I just saved your life, buddy. Show a little gratitude, would ya?
My host blinked for a moment and finally let his magic on the pistol drop. He stood, feeling the mare behind him grasp onto his side to get her bearings. The earth pony merely grinned.
Thanks,
my host said.
I guess I owe you two. Name's Cutter. I'm Granite and Rose, and this here's Lilith,
the earth pony replied. My host turned and looked upon the Pegasus mare fully. I could feel the heat coming off of his cheeks as he stared at her.
Hi,
my host said. Lilith giggled and held out her hoof.
Hiya,
she replied. My host extended his hoof, taking hers in a friendly hoof shake. Granadin grinned.
Oh, get a room,
he said, snorting. Lilith dropped my host's hoof immediately, a fierce blush arising on her face.
Granadin,
she shouted angrily, fluttering her wings. The earth pony rolled his eyes, turning to my host.
Say, what you doing out here by yourself, pal? These streets ain't exactly the nicest, but with those maricones all over the place,
he said. My host sighed.
I was, until recently, mind you, a career. You know, free-to-hire type job. But some pony decided it would be fun to try and have me send a message to those Mexicultan bastards.
The unicorn replied as the trio walked out from behind the metal dumpster.
Unfortunately, they didn't like the message too much.
Granadin pointed at one of the nearby alleys.
Well then, I think perhaps you might wish to seek other employment, my friend,
he said, chuckling.
Tell you what, if you help me out a bit, I can give you a place to stay.
My host's eyes widened.
Really? Well, all right. Where are we headed?
He asked.
You familiar with theater?
Granadin said. My host shook his head. Granadin nodded and continued.
Well, it's a settlement run by the MMMMM. We could use a buck like you. Help defend it, hang around a bit, and you're guaranteed a place there.
My host pondered this for a brief moment before nodding excitedly at the prospect of steady employment. Granadin grinned as he pulled ahead of the other two, taking point. My host fell back, trotting alongside the mare who seemed to be lost in her own little world.
So, how do you two know each other?
My host asked finally. The Pegasus smiled softly.
He saved my life, much like he did yours, she said. I, used to live up above.
Enclave? My host said. I mean, I've heard stories and all, just never really seen one.
The mare shook her head.
No, civilian. Got lucky getting out too, without some sticking that damn mark on me. You do not want to know what I had to do to pull that off,
Lilith replied, giggling.
Ever since I left, I've been a scavenger, been around a bit, met a few crazy ponies. Granadin pulled me out of a pretty bad spot, and I've been hanging around him ever since.
You too, you know,
my host ventured. The mare blushed again, shaking her head. Granadin was a bit further ahead now, the street still and silent save for the soft clopping of their hoofs against the concrete.
Oh, no, we're just friends, that's all,
she said. My host grinned at this.
Oh, when we get back to theater, I'll have to introduce you to some of our other friends.
Others?
My host said.
Yeah, like Evora. Evora's a zebra. She's pretty cool,
Lilith said.
Right,
my host replied.
Sounds fun.
Granadin stopped ahead and allowed the two to catch up to him. A sharp grin was written all over his face.
All right, kiddo, welcome to theater,
he said, motioning at the large building across the street. The lights were dim in the light of the day, but I recognized Theater nonetheless. My host stared up in awe at the building.
This is the place?
He said quietly. Grenadine nodded.
So, you want in?
The Earth Pony asked. My host smiled and looked back at Lilith, who offered her own smile in return.
I'm in.
The hallway was, of course, grey.
As in every hallway in the Celestia Forsaken Place,
I thought as we trotted along. We were skirting around the atrium, moving in the halls and trying to find the armory that Cranky had mentioned to us. We stayed silent, keeping a close eye on any doors or empty halls we came upon. We had experienced several close calls with more of the super drones barely escaping with our lives each time as we moved closer and closer to where we hoped the armory was located. I was still thinking about Pinkie Pie's words. Spark had done so many bad things, made so many bad decisions. Could she just be forgiven, just like that? I glanced over at Violet. She had a determined look on her face, but I could see through the cracks. She was still thinking about it as well. I nudged her softly, getting her attention.
Hey, I said. You're right. No, not really. I keep thinking about that hologram. Is that really what you've been seeing all this time?
She said. I had shared with Violet the stories about the other holograms I had seen since we had been in Chickercold. I nodded.
More or less, I said. That's the first time one of them has ever actually spoken to me directly or been able to be seen by any pony else, though.
What do you think that meant? Violet said quietly. I shrugged.
I think, if anything, it just meant that it was Pinky. It's pretty hard to force any sort of logic to apply to that mare, dead or alive, I said, laughing softly. Seriously, though, I'm not sure what to do, Violet. I mean, Spark hurt you badly. How do I just let that slide?
I'm not sure I'm the best one to be asking that question to, my mare friend replied. If it were me, I'd want to make sure she suffered. I sighed.
But there has to be something there, something I'm missing. Why else would Pride not have joined with her?
I said as we rounded the next corner.
Maybe Pride thinks she can accomplish her goals without her help? I don't really know,
Violet said casually. The hallway ahead of us was just as drab as the rest of them were.
These halls could really use something, like a mural maybe, that would really make it look nice,
I thought. At the far end of the hall stood a series of doors leading to other portions of the stable. I was busy with my own thoughts as we stepped into the clearing, not really paying much attention to the others. My mind swam, thinking about Pride, Spark, and everything in between. Despite getting some rest, I still felt really tired. The quiet and nervous chatter of my friends slowly filtered away and I stopped in my tracks, realizing that I was suddenly alone.
Hello?
I said, turning around in a circle. There was no pony.
Where is everyone? What's going on?
There was no way that they would have just left me alone like that. Cranky had to be behind this somehow. I pushed open one of the doors, wondering if maybe they had gone through and I just hadn't noticed. Nothing. I looked at my EFS again, but it still wasn't working.
Violet, Patch, Nixies, where are you guys?
A cold breeze whipped across my sides. I shivered.
That's weird. It's not supposed to be cold, or windy for that matter.
I thought, pushing open the door that the breeze had come from. My eyes widened as I gazed upon the scene before me.
No!
I shouted, tears welling up in my eyes. Blood stained the drab gray flooring in front of me, dripping from a familiar green foreleg that was lying in the center of the hall. Beside the leg, a green body that belonged to none other than Violet. Her eyes were closed, blood pooling under her cold and lifeless form. Beyond her, two other bloody bodies were laying. One of them was missing a head. My eyes widened further. It was Steeljack. His head lay just a few feet away, along with his spinal cord. Patch's body was next to his, her body torn open by some sort of shredder. I shrieked and screamed, slumping to my haunches in front of the macabre scene.
Violet!
I screamed.
Steeljack! Patch! No!
All sense of logic flew out of the window and I began to blubber like a fowl.
How? How did this happen?
My mind yelled.
They were just with me. What happened?
My mind was reeling. None of this made sense. I should have heard them. I should have been faster, should have been able to save them. I realized that my worst fears had come true. I was living it. My friends were dead and I wasn't able to even save them. Where were the others then? What happened to Lust, to Danish, to Nixies? I blinked, stopping to think for a moment. Where was Lust and the others of my group? Why was it only Violet, Steeljack and Patch? I had always considered those three to be my closest friends, so was that why it was only them? Was pride doing something to me?
Star!
I heard a voice shout from beyond my peripheral vision. I turned my head away from the broken forms of my friends.
Hello?
I said. The voice continued to shout, but I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. I stood, trying to understand what was happening to me. I growled.
Who's there? Pride, is that you?
A soft chuckle emanated from behind me. I turned back towards the bloody scene. A dark blue alicorn stood above the bodies, grinning.
You would have to figure it out, wouldn't you?
Pride said.
And I was having so much fun, too. You rotten, evil bitch!
I shouted. Pride yawned.
Really now, name-calling? Is that what we're resorting to now?
She said.
I told you that I wouldn't make this easy for you.
She motioned to the bodies below her.
Like it? It's a little something I cooked up. Forces you to see your worst nightmare. Your friends are all experiencing their own nightmares right now. Looks like yours is losing those pretty little friends of yours. Don't worry, though. That one I can make come true. Pride, enough of these games already. Show yourself. Let's end this now.
I shouted. Pride tittered at my angry ranting.
Pish posh. You and I will have our time soon enough. For now, I'd prefer to let Cranky wear you down first.
The midnight blue alicorn replied.
Cranky will never fully serve you. I will make sure of that.
I snarled.
Now let me go!
My magic, even though this was just a dream state, seemed to serve just fine to amplify my voice. A magical wave emanated from my mouth, knocking Pride back. The other alicorn disappeared into nothingness. I shuddered as her dream magic began to fail around me, the backlash of energy slamming me against the floor.
Star?
A voice came from next to me. I looked up, seeing Violet sitting next to me. She had a tired smile on her face. I groaned and pushed myself up.
What's going on? Are you guys all right?
I asked. The others appeared much in the same fashion. They all had tired, worn looks on their faces.
What happened to us?
Patch said.
I feel like I've been hit by a freight train.
It was Pride,
I said, rubbing my neck.
She cast some sort of spell on us, forced us to view our worst nightmares. It was intended to tire us out, not kill us.
Is that why I feel like this?
Lust said, pushing herself off the floor. She cracked her neck, looking immensely more relieved. I nodded.
It's time we moved on, I said. Pride definitely knows we're here now, so we need to move fast.
I pushed open the next door, revealing another drab grey hall.
Of course,
I thought.
Always more grey.
We started forward into the maze of tunnels, keeping a close eye on everything around us. I almost found myself missing Cranky's rotting face. At the very least, it would be some color other than grey. I sidled up next to Violet, giving her a quick nuzzle as we walked. I could tell that Pride's magic had taken a lot out of my mare friend.
Are you all right?
I asked as we fell back to the rear of the group.
I saw... Oh, Star, it was so bad. You were with another...
she replied quietly, her head hanging low. My eyes widened. Violet's worst fear was losing me to another lover? I gave her another nuzzle, smiling as brightly as I could.
Hey, you don't need to ever worry about that, you know that, right? It was just a dream, I said. I'm never going to leave you.
It was just so realistic. All I could do was watch, Violet said, nodding. I had no idea Pratt could do something like that. What are we up against, Star?
Don't worry, I won't let anything happen to you, any of you, if I have to, I replied.
I knew in my heart that I would do anything to protect her, to protect the others. I would even give my life if I knew that it would save them. Violet smiled softly. A cuff from ahead of us alerted me to Danish. I glared at him. He always seemed to be the one interrupting my private time with Violet.
You might want to see this, he said. We are here.
I looked down at Violet and then back to the cream-colored stallion. I stepped past him and the others, peering around the corner. A large set of double metal doors lay just beyond in the small clearing. A sign above the doors said, Armory. I moved into the clearing, ready as ever to face what was next as I levitated out Stargazer. That was when the turrets mounted in the ceiling lowered and began to fire.